This is MSO News Sports, and this is our weekend high school football scoreboard show. I'm Bill Newell, along with Tim Kearns, Marty Smith, and John Squires. And so, gentlemen, here we are. We've got all the scores in from the weekend, and it's time to talk about them. And Marty, let's begin with the Saturday game at Hamilton Wenham, where the Generals defeated Bishop Fenwick. Of course, all the scores are posted down below on this post if you need them. But Marty and John, why don't we talk about that game? That was a surprise, the shutout win for the Generals.
It was, but it wasn't. It's really kind of a hard game to describe because Bishop Fenwick had started the game without one player who was hurt. The quarterback made it through only two series before he was taken out after being hurt in a scrimmage earlier this week. And then late in the first half, they had an unsportsmanlike that led to disqualification of another two-way starter. So Fenwick, and you'd never hear Coach Dave Woods make an excuse, but Fenwick was shorthanded. Meanwhile, Hamilton Wenham has some talent. So Corey Bright, hurt in the scrimmage, we saw him only for two series, and it was first two series of a varsity game early in the season. You don't know whether it's roster people are starting to get their motor running, but it was obvious that Corey Bright hadn't quite hit his rhythm. And then after the second series, he was taken out. Saw a different quarterback come in, but it was the defense, and the particularly the defensive line, that spent a lot of time keeping people bottled up.
Yeah.
Now, Marty, if there is a bright spot for Fenwick, they did a pretty good job on the Peach Cam Peach down there at Hamilton Wenham, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. The game plan from the start was to make sure that he didn't get free, and they had him double teamed every time we looked. He had double coverage on him. He still managed to get a couple of receptions for 24 yards. Well, the thing about Jim Pugh's offense and his quarterback, they had the opportunity. They looked at it. They found other players. And Jake Lanciani had two receptions for 69 yards, including the first touchdown of the football game. Then Andrew Riccio had a six-yard run for the second touchdown. Riccio had 59 yards on the ground. So they do have a couple of other weapons in there once Peach gets bottled up.
Now, Fenwick has Denham next weekend, and I saw that Denham lost, so they have homecoming their first game. So hopefully Bright will be healthier again, and then I know there's a big one. Hamilton Wenham has North Reading, and that should be a big game next weekend, don't you think?
Yeah, I think for Hamilton Wenham it gives them some momentum going into that North Reading game, and it was a good, solid victory for them. I think for Fenwick, yeah, they've got a game under their belt now without their starting quarterback, and maybe they can get him back. Maybe he will be better, and they should be a little bit at fuller strength.
You know, one of the things that I take out of it is that the Jim Pugh rebuilding, it seems... What? I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's really just a little bit of speculation, so I wouldn't be able to say one way or another.
What was the last thing you were saying, Marty? I think I cut you off. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the question was how serious is the injury to Corey Bright? And don't really know, but what Coach Woods did say after the game is that he's taken the long view, and if for some reason Bright got hurt or re-injured or aggravated the injury, that's really on the coaching staff. So you make the sacrifice for the first game of the season with the view for the rest of the schedule and getting him back in there.
Gotcha. All right. Well, it does appear that Coach Jim Pugh, in his second year after many years at Masconomet, has Hamilton Wenham football back and competing. So let's jump over to the Northeastern Conference where, Tim, you were at Manning Field with me Friday night and Saturday afternoon to see both Lynn Classical and Lynn English Post wins. The Rams with a shutout win over Medford, while English beat Beverly Saturday 26-20. And then coupled with the Lynn Tech win, the St. Mary's win, the Kip Academy win, the Lynn teams are 5-0 this weekend. So a great weekend for Lynn football. And those are words strung together in a sentence that you haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, it certainly is, Bill. And for Lynn Classical and Lynn English, the games that we did, two very convincing wins, almost mirrors of each other. So Classical gave a few points. But again, Beverly is not Medford. But both came out on fire, fast-paced game, executing very, very precise, very few penalties, very contrary to what we've seen in the past. I can't think of a period of the time that we've been covering them there that both teams have come out and played as well as they did on the same night. Just very, very impressive stats for both those teams.
Keith Ridley, the quarterback for Classical in his first year as a starter, as a junior, had a great game, and then so did Matt Severance. Man, that kid, he was very good in his previous 2 years, but the junior quarterback for English really was poised. And he said something very interesting to us that we have in a video up on our website, is that, he made no mistakes on Saturday, but he said, I feel comfortable back there, meaning that his line is protecting him. And how important is that? And he actually articulated that very well. He was not in trouble, in yesterday's game. So two teams that, certainly started the season the way they wanted to in Lynn, Classical and English.
Yeah, I agree. And for Severance, he's such a dynamic runner as well. And we talked about him at the end of the game. His first 2 years, he was almost look to run, throw second. He would do a quick read downfield. The last couple of years, he didn't have his primary receiver. He'd look to run. Yes, he spent a lot of time in the backfield looking, doing his progression, going through his checks, and then run was the final option, unless it was the call play. But he showed patience. He let his receivers get open, and he did a great job of finding them. He had a lot of help from some really talented receivers out there.
Yeah, and he did not throw interceptions. That's something else he talked about. I talking to all the kids in the last few years, if you have a chance, just click on the Matt Severance video after the game. The guy, he sums it up very well, very quickly. All right, guys, I'm going to let you guys pick something else. I mean, we've had Marblehead and a little bit of a scare with Triton on Friday night. Peabody taken down by Somerville. Some other games as well of interest that I think, had attention. Gloucester's win. Somebody was mentioning that down at Revere on Friday. So you guys pick it up and take it wherever you want to.
Well, I'd like to key in on Swampscott a little bit. Swampscott struggled the last couple of years, and we were over the Swampscott the other day, Bill, and that was my pick for that Tier 3 championship. They came out in all guns blazing last night down in our yesterday late afternoon, and they took care of Greater Lawrence 43-0. Colin Frary, the senior quarterback and captain, threw for 207 yards and 4 touchdowns and got a lot of receivers involved. So I look for them. They have a big game next week against Triton. Triton gave Marblehead all they could handle, and it's the first game at the new field at Swampscott. I was over there yesterday for the dedication service. It was beautiful. Wonderful day. All kinds of former players there and they're really looking forward to a big homecoming game next weekend.
Yeah, we also have that Lynn English at Swampscott game later on, and those two teams are in that same Division III in the Northeastern Conference, so that should be that could be a critical game. Of course, you never know what happens from week to week, but that could look shaping up as a big game right now.
Yeah, one other thing before you guys jump in. I'm looking at the three tiers, and the only league games yesterday were Classical beating Medford 39-0 and Gloucester beating Revere 21-8. Everybody crossed over either non-league or different tiers, and next weekend they start to jump into some of the league games and so forth, and there's some big ones coming up next weekend. But it's interesting, those two teams are both 1-0 in Tier 2.
Gotcha.
Something else to think about, too, when you look at the first weekend of the season, there's an inordinate number of shutouts, and more so, it seems to me, this past weekend than in earlier years, and some of it is just the way the schedule seems to be working, because you have teams that don't play each other and aren't even in the same area code anymore, some of them, but, Classical had a shutout, Ipswich had a shutout, Danvers with the shutout, Linfield with the shutout, Linvoke Tech over Pope John, another shutout. The Hamilton-Wenham game was a shutout. The coaches go back into practice in this coming week, and I don't think you'll see this early in the season that kind of stuff, probably not till like week 3 or 4 when you start to see certain teams pull away from each other or start to pull away in the conference, which leads me towards this Peabody-Danvers game that we have next week. Danvers convincing 31 over Winthrop. Meanwhile, Peabody kind of had it handed to them by Somerville 24-7. I don't see Peabody from the preseason stuff I don't think that's indicative of the way that their season's going. Yeah. And this Friday night game that we have will be an interesting test for Peabody, and it will give us an idea of how real Danvers is.
You know, that's interesting, Marty, is that all those shutouts, but usually the defense is ahead of the offenses early in the season, as you probably know, and you've seen it over the years. And I do think some of these teams will start putting some points on the board. I mean, they're going to go back to the blackboard and really work hard this week, so it'll be interesting. And as you said, some of the matchups coming are teams that maybe are somewhat more even than the teams were this weekend. There were some pretty one-sided scores this weekend between Swampscott, St. Mary's, Glasgow, even Gloucester, Danvers, Methuen. We didn't mention Methuen. Malden lost their first game as the Northeastern Conference to Methuen, 41-16. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Another team we may want to hit upon, too, is that Marblehead barely got by Triton 16-9. In fact, they scored late in the game. Dan Doherty, who was a basketball football player, made a big catch, threw a touchdown pass, rather, to the Marino receiver, and they beat Triton 16-9. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether some of these teams that did not score, as you pointed to, put some points on the board this next weekend.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can always fairly judge teams by the first game. You know, a team like Bedley, you know they're going to get their first year of victories this year. Is Swampscott going to put up 43 points every game against a Grand Lawrence team that coming out of the Commonwealth and the Vocational League is usually one of the better teams in that league and is also one of the bigger teams. So Swampscott, you know, may have caught them on the back foot, maybe a little overconfident. So is Glasgow going to continue? Is Duke going to continue to roll? Well, again, love to see it because it makes the whole league much more competitive in terms of watching games every single week. But do we expect Marblehead to scuffle in the conference as they did against Triton? Again, sometimes kids are just pros to pros, and they might tend to look past a particular game thinking, we've got these guys, and the other team comes in, you know, prepared to knock their heads off, and Triton almost did that. So, you know, we almost take the first week with a grain of salt. There's a lot of high expectations. A lot of teams that have struggled in the past suddenly have something in their eyes to look forward to, that if they can continue to play this way, they can have a season for themselves. And for the regulars, you know, that may have stumbled a little bit, they know they're better than that, so they're going to be coming back.
Well, you look at some of the other teams. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Where I was headed with that, too, Tim, is that if you just casually pick up the results and look at, for instance, the Hamilton-Wenham game that we saw yesterday, you look at that and you say, well, Hamilton-Wenham 21 and Fenwick, they didn't even get on the scoreboard. It's going to be a rough year for Fenwick and all of that. You have to look a little bit further past that to find out that, yeah, Hamilton-Wenham has a lot of weapons, but Fenwick didn't. They were missing some of their key players. And yesterday's past performance is not indicative of future results. I don't think just looking at that score tells us anything for the coming season.
Well, that's probably true, Marty. And, you know, the other thing, too, is if you look at this weekend's past games, is that some of the teams that haven't had a lot of success in the past jumped up to a win. Look at Salem. Salem beat Austin Prep. Coach Maraday up there usually runs a really strong program, and Salem put 27 points on the board, and that's a big win for them. And they go against Essex Tech next week, so they have a chance to jump out to 2-0. You look at Somerville. I don't want to belate the point, but I heard that Somerville had some key, a real good running back by the name of Pierre, and a pretty good quarterback up there, and they have much more talent. Some of the players they got out, they have a field goal kicker also moved over from the soccer team. So Somerville in the past has, and they beat Peabody 24-7. I was surprised at Danvers. I know Winthrop is very young, playing a lot of young kids, but Danvers, under a first-year coach, put 31 points on the board. So it's going to be interesting next week, and I'm looking ahead a little bit, and I don't want to get away from the games this weekend, but that Beverly-Gloucester game that we're going to do next weekend, Timmy, you were saying that Beverly's going to win some ball games, but Gloucester could jump out to 2-0 at home. They're real tough on a Friday night down at Gloucester. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah, and you know, the history of these two teams goes way back, and in the last 20 years, and it's time that I taught at Gloucester, some of the battles that were waged at both Newell Stadium and at Hurd, I mean, they were epic. And that they hit sometimes on the very last play of the game. So Gloucester stronger than maybe some people thought. Losing a lot of players. A lot of these coaches done a great job coaching the younger kids up to come in and step in and take over for the guys that graduated. So yeah, got to give those coaches both teams the beaten and bruised next weekend between Gloucester and Beverly. Beverly really needs it, I think, to set the ship right. And Gloucester, boy, they're going to be just jumping out of their socks trying to get to 2-0 and really set a good tone.
I just want to add a couple things here that Coach Perrone, I think, used to say that from week one to week two is where high school teams make their most improvement. That said, also that I used to talk to Bill Hamer, and Hamer would say, yeah, we have Salem on Thanksgiving Day, but Gloucester is our huge rivalry game in another way or a different way, and that's been the case over the years going way, way back. And the other thing is, I think that when I saw the score out of Revere for Gloucester, I took that with a sense that that's great for Gloucester, because Revere's Lou Ciccatelli has really made that program very respectable. So to go down there and beat them means that you did something right on and make note of that coming out of there. So those are my three quick thoughts looking ahead. And I agree with you, John. Should be a great game. Beverly's gonna come back. In some way. You know, I'm not saying they're gonna win Friday night, but all I'm saying is they're gonna be ready to play Friday night despite the loss on Saturday.
Two other thoughts, guys. Is that that's a great point you made, Bill, is that the huge week, most coaches say the biggest improvement of their team or a huge improvement on the team is week one or week two, which is going to be interesting. And another big game next week, and I'm just wondering what you guys think of it. Lynn English at Somerville next week. Both teams are 1-0, and we really didn't know how English was going to respond, and we certainly didn't think that Somerville was going to do what they did at Peabody. What do you think about that one?
You know, Phil Stacey, who interviewed him yesterday, made the comment about Somerville that they could possibly surprise a whole lot of people. I think when these teams from the old GBL came in, you know, we thought they were the little sisters of the poor, and the reason that the league fell apart was because the quality of those programs had dipped so much, and they just couldn't sustain it, and they just couldn't take the beating from Everett every year. There's a lot of pride in those communities. You know, Somerville generally has had solid teams. They've always had teams with size, and maybe if they're cycling back up, it'll be interesting to see whether the Medford, the Maldens can do the same. Medford showed some life the other night. I think they just got blitzed by a Classical team that was running on all cylinders on high octane fuel and just couldn't get past them. But Somerville, I guess, you come into a new league, you don't want to get stomped by everybody. You want to come in and make a statement, and I'm sure that the coach there has used that as a motivation. You know, let's go in there, let's show them who Somerville is. Let's show them what the GBL beyond Everett is like. And if you've got, as you mentioned, some skilled players, boy, that just elevates you.
Let me ask you guys, let's go around the horn one last time with some final or closing comments from each one of you. You guys decide the order.
I think probably the best thing that has come out of our last chat here is the whole comment that Coach Perrone said, that you see the biggest improvement between weeks one and two, and the fact that we saw a lot of teams yesterday and Friday or this past weekend that are getting their legs underneath them. I think next weekend is going to be a very interesting one.
Oh, I agree. With some of the matchups that we're going to see, we're seeing technically key games very early in the season that possibly are going to set the tone for each of those teams as we go into week three, four, and five.
Well, you got to also remember, guys, too, is that some of these games are not league games, and it all comes down to how you do in your tier. So you need to win your tier to move on, and how you do in the playoffs. Just a couple other thoughts on as we go down. Talk about Little Sisters of the Poor. The Northeastern Conference better be thanking their lucky stars that Everett's not coming to the Northeastern Conference with those other greater Boston teams. What they did to Zavarian yesterday was unbelievable. They beat up in Zavarian 38-7, and Zavarian's no slouch. So that's a big one. And then I just want hats off to Kipp Academy. They won their first ever football game, their first game they ever played, 28-0. So congratulations to them. And as you said, guys, I think we're going to have a great weekend next weekend for some key matchups. And I'm looking forward to go over to Swampscott with Bill to do that Triton and Swampscott game.
All right. I got one final thought here. I don't know if you caught this or not, but Endicott College football had a huge come-from-behind win yesterday at Bridgewater. I know they were featured on SportsCenter, so a little shout-out to Coach Kevin DeWall, his quarterback, in a furious finish that they had on the road yesterday for their win. And I guess we'll leave it at that. Gentlemen, great job. Tim Kearns, Marty Smith, and John Squires. I'm Bill Newell, and this is our weekend high school football scoreboard on MSONewsSports.com.